So what do you think about like watching the fucking, what was his name in Orb, the fucking main character kid?
Rafal?
Rafal. What do you think about him watching him run 100 meter relay races?
Oh, I fucking love this movie. This is one of my favorite anime of the year.
While we were talking about the movie Coming Home, my brother was telling me about his updated favorites list.
Okay.
So do you remember what his favorite anime was before?
Was it Attack on Titan?
Yeah. It was Attack on Titan.
Yeah. Okay.
His favorite anime
This is like from after a few weeks, his favorite anime, please don't say it's Orb.
No.
Please don't. Okay, it's not. Oh, thank God. What is it then? Is it this movie?
It's Ashita no Joe.
Oh, that's kind of based. that's pretty good. Hell yeah.
And then he said he's gonna put Monogatari series above Attack on Titan 2.
It's just like, that's my boy.
Well, he's got Fully Cooley at number 11 and Ava number 10, so I don't know if I'm quite at that point.
I don't know. That's still pretty like high. I guess he's probably still like seen less than 100, but that's pretty cool though.
I think he said he did make a My Anime list, I guess.
It really feels like, do you remember, I think it was a Gigguk video from years ago where he talked about like the stages of being an anime fan and like the stuff that you watch at first and the stuff that you watch after a while and the stuff that like you watch like after you spent years watching anime. I feel like that's dying. I feel like there's more cases like your younger brother where people are just kind of where that's sort of how you get into anime, that kind of track is like less of a thing now because of things like people are looking at sites like Letterboxd or getting anime recommendations just generally from like outside the anime community, if that makes any sense.
He it's an interesting case study because that like it kind of ties into what I've said about taste. Good taste is not I like good show. Like I do appreciate that it is just like a shorthand, right? Like it's not that I'm like being autistic, like that's not technically good taste, but like
yeah,
I feel like people somehow misconstrue that as actually being the case because it is just ubiquitous. Like, oh, you have such good taste. You like X, Y, and Z.
That's how you get like the most boring taste in anime type shit is basically how that stereotype emerges. And you even have that with like movies as well. Like there's like the standard like letterbox template of like top five movies or whatever the hell, top five albums. Every medium kind of has that sort of thing. You know, like the safe critically acclaimed picks.
And preemptively I'm saying this is not to like shit on this is not inviting anyone to shit on him.
Okay.
But because again, he's 16. But he's got Haibane Renmei at number 6 on his favorites.
Okay,
and so I'm just kind of like, oh, so what did you like about like Haibane Renmei? And he's like, kind of like Angel's Egg. I kind of like the aesthetics, like the Christian symbolism, religious. No, he didn't say Christian. He said religious symbolism.
Right, yeah.
And I was like, oh.
So, like, not very, I guess, like, 16-year-old, probably not the most, like, articulate.
Yeah.
That's why
I was like, I'm preemptively saying this. This is not, this is not to be like, oh, what a fucking fake fan. It's just like, he's 16. Like, it's expected. Yeah. But yeah, it's.
I guess it's also then that kind of question of like, especially at that age, you're probably like, I definitely had that phase when I was 16 where it's like, I like certain kind, not really anime, but like certain kinds of music because I wanted to project a certain image of myself
to other people as like, this is like the kind of music that I like. So I am this kind of person. And I feel like, well, some people don't grow out of it, but I feel like a lot of people do. I certainly did. I'm just like, I don't fucking care. And I just like what I like.
Yeah. It becomes like a weird, fake it till you make it kind of thing. Sometimes I think for people where it's like, you start projecting what you want to be. And then that, even if it's like not real, it ends up being formative to your actual taste.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And yeah. Then kind of like informs what you will then consume and appreciate later on.
Yeah. Yeah. Like you kind of, for lack of a better way of saying this, almost like rewire your brain by trying to conform or fit a certain sort of like vibe or idea, or fit in with some kind of like a specific community. And eventually that just kind of, you know, that just becomes who you are after a certain point.
Yeah. It's like how when I was younger, I wanted to be a curmudgeon asshole old man, and look where I am now.
Oh, well, I don't know if that's really something you should be proud of. I mean,
what do you mean? You never wanted to be a jaded old guy? You don't think that sounds cool?
I guess I am jaded in some ways, but not really with anime. Thank God. I'd probably fucking kill my. I'd just stop watching anime.
Hey, I didn't say anime specifically. I just said.
Oh, general. I guess so. Yeah, in terms of just like the state of the world, then sure.
I'm just an asshole outside of anime. Let's be real. Oh. People try to talk to me about like a movie or something. I'm like,
fuck, you were that just describing how you were at a club and just standing in the corner trying to give off Jeffrey Dahmer vibes. So I guess that tracks. I did go to an anime rave in DC once. Oh. I left after like 20, 30 minutes. They did have like a tier list. Like you could like. They had all these like anime cards, and you could like stick them on to like different tiers or whatever. So that was fun to like just talk to people. And I just insisted on moving Frieren down to like D tier, and they're like, "What the fuck is wrong with you?" I'm like, "This show completely loses the plot." I think they also had like Orb relatively higher up, so I think maybe I moved Orb down. I don't remember what I did. But there were some questionable, I should have taken a picture. There were some questionable fucking takes. They had like Vinland Saga really low, and some guy was talking about how like season 2 fell off. I'm just like, what the fuck? Oh my
God.
Oh, this is I guess this is the exact kind of person that an anime rave would attract, now that I think about it.
Yeah. Did you see the, you see the response I made in the post that you posted about watching Audrey?
Oh, yeah, you said you disregard a fedora wearing like Orb fan walked in or whatever.
No, I said disregard. I saw a guy wearing a fedora come in and sit down, and I cannot stay in a theater with an Orb fan.
Wait, was there actually a guy wearing a fedora in your theater?
No, I posted that while I was sitting in my car.
Oh my God, damn it. Were there many people in your theater?
No, my theater was really small. It was actually the same theater that we went and watched Look Back in.
Yeah, yeah. They have like the smaller like event theater like stuff. Like,
yeah.
Just it doesn't attract as much of a crowd. There weren't really many people. I guess we are seeing it on like the third night it is in theaters, whereas maybe there'd be more people if we saw it like the Sunday matinee or like.
I mean, it was full, but it was just small. Like there was, I think there was only like 40, 50-ish seats available, if that.
Okay.
Like it was small. Yeah, it was an interesting experience. That we can get into now. Welcome to the Meme Crew Podcast.
No, I was gonna do the intro. Fuck you. I was gonna do the fucking intro.
I can feel it.
Meme Crew. I'm your host, Sciotic. Stop talking over. I'm the host, and he's not. I'm the host, Sciotic. He's Moomy. Welcome to the Weeb Crew.
Me. I'm the host. Me. It's me. No,
look at me. I am the host now.
Oh my God. You can't do that. Not in the intro.
Can't do that. It's not in the intro.
You're gonna click on and be like, "Oh no!" Into the pocket. I can't believe it.
So yeah, we're here to talk about. We haven't done an episode where we just talked about a specific anime in a while, I think. Oh, no, because we did
G-Quacks.
What was that? That was G-Quacks, and then we talked a fair bit about what was the Uma Musume movie, and we watched that a few weeks ago, which is probably the closest point of comparison. Well, that and Ping Pong. So we both saw 100 Meters tonight, the new Kenji Iwaisawa movie, adapting a manga written by Uoto, who is the author of Orb on the Movements of the Earth, which I don't know about you going into this movie. I was feeling very conflicted about how I was going to end up feeling watching it, because I loved Ongaku Our Sound. It's just one of my favorite things in general, if I'm going to be honest. And I fucking hated Orb on the Movements of the Earth. So I'm going into this movie just thinking to myself, like, okay, we have a director I love adapting a manga from an author whose only other work that I really experienced, I fucking hated and thought it was really goddamn annoying and pretentious and just not glazed by people, even though if you fucking look at the ideas, it's like watching a goddamn debate on Reddit.
Yeah, I don't have as extreme of opinions as you on either one, because I like Ongaku. I thought it was a good movie.
Yeah.
But it's not like my favorite thing.
Yeah.
Didn't resonate with me the same way did you. And then same kind of with Orb, where I'm like, I didn't like a lot of the stuff that you didn't like. I thought it was generally okay, pretty good kind of range. Mm-hmm. I mean, I gave it like a 6, I guess, a 6 out of 10. People are fucking having an aneurysm right now. 6 out of 10 is a good Moomy score, all right?
That's a positive score. I'd probably give this like a 3 or a 4. I really do not like, I still haven't finished it yet is the thing. Because every time I try and watch it, I just get annoyed at like having to watch these characters. The characterization in Orb is like so dumb. And it feels like I'm just like watching like puppets meant to represent a specific viewpoint talk. And they don't feel.
Sock puppets, yeah.
Yeah, this is, yeah. Which,
so what do you think about like watching what was his name in Orb, the fucking main character kid?
Rafal?
Rafal, what do you think about him watching him run 100 meter relay races?
Oh, I fucking love this movie. This is one of my favorite anime of the year.
And they brought back the bearded guy,
Yeah, which, hold on, I have to check real quick. Was that guy also voiced by Kenjiro Suda?
Yeah, it's the same guy. It's literally the same character.
It's literally the same character, which, yeah, his character, we'll get into that later. What did you think about the movie, Mumi?
No, you gotta say it like we used to do with the fucking, the reviews. So what'd you think about... 100 meters.
I literally just said I thought it was one of my favorite anime. No, of the I'm year. Saying
that's how you're supposed to say. that's how we did the intros on the videos. Remember?
So what did you think about 100 meters, Mumi?
It was pretty damn good. I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah, no, this movie fucking slaps so fucking hard.
I am upset that. The author of Orb, I have to like give credit where it's due that I liked this movie.
Well, no, because like, I think it makes sense because what I realized, because going into this, I had already read like, I think I read the first chapter of the one shot, because there's two manga for this. There's a one shot and then a 5-volume manga. And I read like the first chapter of the one shot and I was like, oh, this is just how he writes characters in this very like blunt and simplistic fashion.
Yeah.
Although there's a fair amount of difference between, and I imagine this is because like of differences between the one shot and the like 5-volume manga. The character writing in the one shot, not particularly great. The character writing in the movie though, fantastic, if I'm going to be honest. But I did realize like, oh, this is just how he writes characters. And I was thinking to myself, I think this style of writing would be better served to like a sports movie where it's such a simple concept. It's running 100 meters and dissecting why these characters are doing this versus like a more heady, like
higher concept movie or film
drama.
Or,
yeah. Yeah. Like, and he does comedy very well as well as what I've realized. Cause I read the first chapter of this other manga that he has, which is about conspiracy theories. And for context, the way the manga starts is a joke about the Pizzagate mass shooting.
Oh boy.
Yeah, I was like, wow, that's really fucking dark. And I started reading it and I was like laughing my ass off at this fucking like neurotic main character basically doing like, it's so over. And then he rationalizes way into thinking, oh, no, we're so back. We're so fucking back, just in his head. So Uoto's way of writing characters that is very exaggerated, I think works a lot better in like a sports movie like this, where everyone has like a different specific motivation for why they're running, and that essentially keeps them going. I think it works a lot better here.
It works a lot better. I did have issues with it at times,
like a little bit, like
minor like issues, I would say.
Yeah, like there's a, I think it's like the first, like there's a scene where Togashi, the main character, and Komiya, the friend, they're like kids and they're talking, and Komiya is just like explaining to Togashi, like,
yeah, that like that stood out to
like
me.
Running away from his problems and stuff. And I'm just like, wow, this character has a very salient understanding of their own psychology.
Yeah, him being like, oh, you just have to run 100 meters faster. It felt a little too clever in a sense of like someone trying to write a kid as opposed to like the actual simplicity of a child. Is
it makes more sense for these characters as they grow older to act like that. They didn't really like as kids, and it's worse in the one shot manga though. I thought that the way they were characterized, like the in the one shot manga, that conversation just turns into like a full-blown like debate, whereas here they do still feel one much more like kids, and then also much more like friends, which is nice.
Yeah, I will say that stood out to me at the time, but like I forgot about it, I guess, in terms of like it became less important in scale. The part that bothered me, I think, the most was the last time that the two characters meet in the hallway. Mm-hmm. And
oh yeah,
is it Kamiya or whatever his name is?
Komiya.
He's like it was Takagi, whatever the fuck his name is. I'm pulling up the
Togashi.
Togashi comes up to and is like, oh yeah, we get to race together. It's been a while. And then Kamiya's just like, I've had my whole worldview challenged because I lost in a race and he didn't care. I was like, okay, this is getting a little ridiculous. But
yeah, it's a little bit more of a thing with like that his character is just fucking autistic, which it does help that there are other characters in the movie that react to their intensity like normal people and be like, that's a weird thing to fucking say. Like when the one guy gets up on stage and is like addressing the class.
Yeah.
And the teacher is just behind him being like, what? Yeah. And the teacher's just like, what the fuck is he saying? Wait, what?
It makes sense because it's like, I liked that characterization aspect because like with him, he's saying stuff that sounds incomprehensible to people who are like not serious, not on his wavelength. Whereas like Kamiya, it made sense, and then like Kamiya, you got the interesting contrast with like the is it Kyoda? No, his name was like Tatsuya or something. The captain of the track team or whatever, where he's like asking these questions. They sound very just basic, like
Sunada, like the guy who like freaks out at Komiya.
They sound like just very basic like questions that basically anyone could have asked. Whereas like Komiya then stands out to Zaitsu because he's like asking very specifically targeted questions that like someone that clearly cares about this shit would ask.
And the way that scene then closes out with Zaitsu being like, what was your name again? Like that's like I generally really like the character interactions in this movie. They felt much more, it still felt much more organic rather than like these big, like philosophical, they felt less one-sided than they did in Orb is what I would say, where there's like in Orb, it felt like there was like one side that was clearly right and one side that was clearly wrong. You know, the fucking Soy Jack versus the Chad or whatever the fuck.
Yeah. I would say that's because balanced. Like these characters, it felt like they went through more of like an arc as far as like having their ideas challenged, where it's like less of a debate. Yeah. And it's more like, cause like the main kind of through line of the movie is Togashi kind of starting from like a I don't say like a place, the place of privilege necessarily, but he's like very gifted as a young age. Right. So
yeah. Yeah.
He's kind of it becomes like this weird like intersection where Komiya is not gifted. Togashi is gifted. Komiya has nothing to lose. And so he puts more of his all into it, where Togashi kind of starts off that way and is like, I'm just going to run faster than everybody or whatever. And then as he's become successful, he's like, oh, I need to worry about the future. And then that worry kind of then weighs him down, where he's not running as fast as he used to. And that's pointed out. And basically like the climax of the movie, I would say, where it's, they race for the second time.
Technically it's the third time, because you have when they're kids and then they're in middle school and then they're as adults, or maybe they were in high school, I forget.
I think they're in high school. I'm talking about the time when they're in high school.
I
think that's like the peak of the, like, that's where like they had the most fucking insane animation going on for the race.
Oh god, that cut in the rain is one of the most incredible pieces of animation I've seen in a while.
I was thinking about it while I was watching it. I'm like, it's interesting because it's very Iwasawa. Like, you very clearly see, because he's very big on like rotoscoping and stuff like that.
Yeah.
It very much felt like Ongaku at points. In terms of,
especially like the backgrounds and like
backgrounds, the movement.
I do wonder, because there's the running scene in Ongaku, if that maybe was like a motivation to get Iwasawa to direct this, is like based on that sequence in Ongaku. I don't know how this like project got put together. I don't need to like look into that more.
Yeah, that would have been a good thing to do.
But you were saying about that sequence?
That at the end of that sequence, Komi is like, oh, your running style changed.
Yeah.
And like that's him basically saying, like, you know, you stop just going full out, because that's the whole thing when he was kids, he's like, I don't know how to hold back, I just go full out all the time.
Yeah.
And then that changes as he gets older, but he doesn't realize what's changed, or like he did, mind you, since we're getting to that point, when he does finally realize what happened and what's changed, and he breaks down at the fucking park, all my theater kept laughing the whole time, and I'm like,
oh my god. No, people in like my theater were like, oh my god. They were like empathizing with him.
They were like, oh, this is awkward. Like, I guess there's like an element of humor
there is a little bit of humor. Like, I was laughing a little bit with the kids, but I'm still like, this is like an ugly scene. This is an ugly cry. I feel really bad for him.
Yeah, it was one of those moments where I was like, I would have rather watched this part, like parts like this, by myself, because like then you can have your own emotion to it. I'm not getting like the awkward laughter of people be like, what's going on, what this is fun, and like tainting your experience, I guess. Like, it's like, okay, now I have someone else's emotion going on.
But that's unfortunate.
But it was interesting. I really liked those, that kind of like intersection. It reminded me a lot of Look Back, honestly.
I could see that. Yeah, I was thinking more like Ping Pong, but I could also definitely see like Look Back as well.
Well, with like the Komiya Togashi dynamic, kind of like the same as whatever the fuck.
It's a little bit like the girls in Look Back are a little bit like Smile and Peck. Although what I was also thinking about is like Ping Pong is obviously very much about the difference between like hard work and talent, rather than like the specific, motivations of these characters for playing ping pong. What's interesting about this movie is that is like the sole focus of the movie. And I think that works well because you're running 100 meters. It's like it is literally like the simplest sport possible, basically.
Yeah.
So you do have that like romantic, almost like a boxing movie kind of like romanticism to it.
It is very similar to ping pong, because like both sports, I feel like, in ping pong, the animation specifically, I'm not necessarily talking about the sport, but in ping pong, they kind of like lampshade and acknowledge like the futility or like the how silly ping pong as a sport kind of is.
Yeah, well, because it's like for spoilers for ping pong, it's when they grow up and kind of like are looking back on this moment and like you see how like they've all moved on, and it's like, while in the moment, yeah, this feels like a life or death thing. As you graduate high school and you move on, you get like a different perspective on it.
Yeah. This kind of does a similar thing, because it's like,
yes,
we've lived our whole lives for running 100 meters, like a 10-second period of time.
Yeah.
And you're condensing your entire life experience essentially into the success of this 10 seconds, this 100 meter dash.
Yeah.
And you repeat over and over and over, and there's no end in sight. It is a very interesting, I was not like super, I didn't dislike it or anything, but I wasn't like super on board with it until like the last third, because then at the last third I'm like, okay, I see kind of more like what we're getting deeper into. Obviously the first like two thirds, like I got what they were doing just fine, but like you don't have the overarching thing to like piece it to, like, okay, so what is this whole thing about like giving your all gonna tie into exactly, like what is the ultimate kind of theme or whatever. So I did appreciate like the construction and like the execution of it up until that point, but like it wasn't until like the last third, so I'm like, okay, I get kind of more like once he loses that race and like he starts kind of confronting why he races, and then you start kind of having the conflict of ideals with Kamiya and Togashi, and then even like with Zaitsu and was it Kaido?
The Kenjiro Suda, you mean?
Kenjiro Suda, yeah. When you start getting like their kind of different perspectives and kind of bouncing off of each other, and like you then you get like the actual conflict of ideas essentially, where it's like you kind of see like where each kind of mentality can take you. The shortcomings or like the pitfalls of such mentalities. And it doesn't really like give you like a, this is the correct way kind of thing. Right.
No.
Cause it's like, Zaitsu, spoilers, I guess, minor spoilers. I'm not going to get into like the major part, but like, Zaitsu loses in the last like race thing or whatever, but like it doesn't, when you think about it, it's like he was the best racer in the world for like 10 years. So it's like, did he lose really? Like, it's not saying that his mentality was wrong. It's just kind of like, well, that's the extent of that mentality, I get, like in the universe. Which or whatever.
I really liked his like conversation with Komiya at the end, where he's basically saying, like, the difference between the best and like your perspective is the same if you're like the best or the worst, because you look to like your sides and there's no one there.
You're alone. And
he's basically he's just lost like any motivation because there's no one around him to really push him. And then like, at the end of the movie, Komiya is basically just like, damn, was this all just for literally nothing? I don't feel any better. I feel like I've solved nothing.
Yeah, there's a lot of, I can see the ping pong comparisons at least.
Yeah.
I'm like hesitant to like agree with it, I guess. But
yeah, I mean, it's not like a one-to-one comparison.
Yeah,
structure-wise, this almost felt more like a biopic, you know, because you get like these different chunks of each of their careers, basically, which is usually how you structure a lot of biopics. Like part of me, I watched Talladega Nights recently, so I was just kind of thinking of Talladega Nights oh my head.
Why?
I mean, at one point, a character more or less just says, "If you're not first, you're last."
Did they say that?
No, it wasn't. It wasn't quite that. But remember, like Nikami, the guy who's his like back is like fucked up. I forget. Like his dad, who's like a famous runner, said something. It's about
giving
to
your
him.
All times, and if you don't, you fall behind or something like that.
Yeah. Which to me, I was just thinking. I was like, that's basically if you're not first, you're last.
Yeah.
But yeah, I thought this movie was just fantastic. I was interested a little bit because at the start, they don't really do much, like really any rotoscoping. And I realized like after they grow up, I was like, oh, they didn't do any rotoscoping because they would have had to get in kids for that. And that probably would have cost a lot more money than
they did do rotoscoping having... for Togashi Racing. Was his name? Nijika or whatever. Nikami.
Yeah, Nikami. Yeah.
They did rotoscope him for that race, I noticed.
Yeah.
Because he looked like slightly disproportionate. I was like, oh, that's unfortunate.
I was like, oh yeah, I guess they couldn't really rotoscope kids that well because of the difference in proportions. But it's fine. What I was thinking to myself is the fact that this is a manga adaptation, it's a relatively high profile production. I noticed a lot of like you had Pony Canyon and TBS in there. I believe the manga itself is published by Kodansha. So I think this movie definitely had like a lot more of a production than Ongaku. I mean, that's kind of obvious. So it was interesting to me watching it and then still seeing what elements of very obviously style.
Very obviously like Ongaku. Yeah. There was a lot of shots. I'm like, this is just Ongaku right now.
Yeah. And especially like, cause I was like thinking at the start of the movie, he's like, oh, this is just not going to have like the same kind of like rotoscoping style as much. But then when they grow up, I'm like, oh no, never mind. We're back. And I was also wondering like, is this going to be weird to the other people in the theater who maybe haven't seen Ongaku and wondering why things look so weird.
Yeah.
But I was very happy to see both animation wise, also the music felt very Ongaku as well, to the point that I was like listening to the music and I'm like, is that the same fucking bass guitar from Ongaku? It can't be, but it sounds, that bass tone sounded so fucking similar. So yeah, it's a very definitely you still get Iwaisawa's like style showing through. And it leads to some like very like high octane moments as well. Like this movie gets very hype at points between the music and the way that it animates the characters. I mean, you posted the Linkara GIF.
There was a shot for context. Anyone that's seen the movie, it's
towards the end, I think.
Yeah, it's before the final race, after the semifinal. Komiya is like running in the facility and it's
towards the camera.
And it's like the background just moving. I saw that and I immediately just thought of that fucking gif of Linkara running toward the camera. I'm like, I need to make a gif of that whenever this comes out.
Yeah, which in terms of like the choreography of the running, while it is rotoscoped, there are some cuts that aren't, and the choreography does look a little bit wonky, but it's one of those things that even though it doesn't necessarily look correct, it still feels right in the context of the scene. Mm-hmm. Like you get like the character's like expression and intensity.
I'm still mixed on rotoscoping, especially like this film. Like the high school segment was very kind of like weird with the girls.
Yeah. When it takes a minute to get like adjusted to, since like the first like however much of the movie was not rotoscoped, that it is a little bit jarring. Excuse me, a little bit jarring of a shift.
Well, I think the girls specifically like were kind of the worst executed. The kid part was like disproportionate, but he was also very small in that shot. Whereas like I noticed when they introduced the girl characters and they are just rotoscoped, there's like points where their faces kind of feel just like weird. Like the girl with the longer hair's like chin just kind of felt a little weird.
Yeah. Oh my god, Asakusa was voiced by Rie Takahashi. Younger Komiya was voiced by Aoyuki?
What the fuck?
Yeah, what the fuck? There's some big names in this voice cast, which again, bigger production, so I guess that makes sense.
How do they get so many fucking big names on this?
I mean, it's obvious why Kenji Rasuda is attached to this, because you have to get Kenji Rasuda to voice that character. Which, well, yeah. I feel like is the only reason that character is in the movie. I'd imagine it has a much bigger role in the manga, because his role in the movie is very small, but it's like, well, we have to put him in and we have to get Kenji Rasuda, because people are going to be fucking confused if we don't have the Kenji Rasuda character in the movie.
Did you get vibes of Bob from Komiya?
From Komiya?
Especially Bob? The character Mob.
Oh, Mob. I think you said Bob. I'm like, who's Bob? Mob? No, Mob. I got a little bit of that. Yeah, I could see that.
Where he's like running and he's like...
Oh, at the start? Yeah, I could definitely see that. Yeah. I mean, for me, like, his unemotiveness also just reminded me a lot of Smile from Ping Pong versus, like, Togashi felt more like Smile, which when we're talking about, like, the character writing and the characters in Orb not really feeling like characters, I really like, Togashi is such a likable character in this movie. It's kind of insane.
It's weird because he's like a likable character in like a realistic way.
Yeah.
Which
he feels very like normal. Like, I'll show you some stuff in the manga after we're done recording. But in the manga, the portion that I read, he feels less natural than he does in this. So while I was watching him, it's like, wow, this feels a lot better, especially like when he gets into high school and you just kind of see like his mannerisms and how nice and like just normal he is to everyone. He's not constantly like brooding. Like, I was worried that his motto of like, you know, being faster at the 100 meter race than anyone else could solve any problem. I was wondering if that was just going to be his like motto through the entire movie, and it's going to be like this kind of brooding asshole to everyone, but he's not.
No, he's like I said, he's very realistic in like a way that it's for better or worse, because like, he weirdly enough, he kind of seems bland a lot of the time.
I can kind of see that. I think it's less so bland, more so he's almost like an everyman kind of thing.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm getting. Like, so many like protagonists and stuff, like characters in anime are generally like played up. It's like a theater thing, right? Like, you play up mannerisms and characteristics and stuff like that to like show like, oh, this is this kind of character. You kind of fill in the gaps yourself. Togashi in the film, at least, feels very much just like a normal person. And it feels kind of weird, like jarring in a way, as because it's like an anime.
Especially because, you would almost expect like him to have a more exaggerated, especially in the context of a sports. Like, have you seen anything from Blue Lock?
Yeah, I've seen like clips.
Yes. Yeah, something like that. Where I also watched the first episode.
We watched it together.
Oh, did we?
Yes.
My thing on Blue Lock, by the way, for anyone wondering, is that it's very funny that it ignores the fact that Japan's women's team won the World Cup against the United States in 2011, like a few months after fucking 3-11. It was like a big deal. And it's just something kind of ignored, seemingly, because the guy is like, Japan has never won the World Cup. And I'm like, but they have.
Because
I guess women's sports don't count. Yeah.
America's never had a good soccer team. What about the women's
America
soccer team?
America has one of the best women's soccer teams in the world.
No. Consistently. This is a matter.
It's like a literal underdog story. I think one of the women on the team was, I think, worked at the like Fukushima Daiichi nuclear power facility as well.
Damn.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not a big... I just saw that in Blue Lock, and I'm like, yeah, I don't feel like I'm going to watch this, but I think this is honestly one of just my favorite sports anime in general, I'd say. It's kind of hard because it's a movie and there aren't a ton of sports anime movie. I would say I like this more than Beginning of a New Era, the Musume movie. And I'd say I even liked it more than the first Slam Dunk, if I'm going to be honest.
I can see it.
Yeah.
Where does this rank among... this is a silly question. Okay. How would you compare Son Goku?
It's not on the level of Son Goku in terms of just like the emotional resonance that I get out of it. I feel like also just the climax of Son Goku and just some of those like more surreal sequences hit a little bit harder for me as well. Mm-hmm. Like there are a few moments like that you get in this, but it would have been interesting if like when Kendra Tsuda's character says it's time to leave reality, like it would have been cool if reality literally just like broke down around him and it was just him running in like a void or something, like more surrealism.
It just like maybe stops during the rotoscoping and you just see the guy running.
That would be kind of, yeah, that would go kind of, I mean, I was also thinking when he said that, I was just thinking to myself, like, is this going to become the Animatrix? Like that, I guess in terms of like running sequences, the Animatrix still has like my favorite running sequence in animation. But overall, no, this is like Ongaku for me is like a 10 out of 10, whereas this is like a high 8, like a decent to strong 8 for me. It's one of my favorite anime of the year now. It's like number 2 or 3, probably. I'll have to check. Yeah, crazy movie. I loved it. It's kind of hard to say that though as a review because we saw this on the last day it was in theaters, so it can't be like, yeah, go check it out in theaters if it's near you, because by the time you're listening to this, it's already out of theater. So I guess it's watch it when it goes on streaming, buy it on Blu-ray. Oh.
Yeah, I like it more than Goku, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
I guess I could see that. I mean, Kenji Arisawa is now like 2 for 2. We'll see how what that Hina movie or whatever he's doing next, which I think is supposed to be a production more similar to Son Goku, like not as like as big or professional as this was. So we'll see if he can go for 3. Uoto has now won my heart back. We are now no longer. I mean, I still fucking hate Orb, but I have a better sense of how his style of storytelling works. So yeah, I highly recommend it.
I'm still deliberating on where I want to put this. I haven't marked it on my list yet.
Are you thinking like between like a 7 or 8? Are we talking like top 100 or what?
7 or 8. I guess
it's a movie, so your top movies are very threadbare anyway.
It's below Look Back. I feel pretty comfortable in that. It is above Son Goku.
Okay.
As far as like films go, I feel relatively secure in where it's kind of landing.
Kind of place. Yeah, I would say I like to Look Back a little bit more than this. That was another thing that surprised me. Like Look Back was what, like 70 minutes? This was an hour and 45 minutes, which going into it, again, I had this like fear. This is like, oh no, this is written by Uoto. Is this going to be annoying? Am I going to have to sit through 100 minutes of this and wanting to kill myself? But I think it was about after the first 5 minutes, I was like, no, this is going to be a good movie.
This will be a good movie.
This will be a good movie. Do we want to get into like spoiler talk now?
Yeah. Yep. If you didn't click off with the mild spoiler, here's the hard spoiler.
here are the hard spoilers. So like the last race, another point of comparison for Ping Pong to me is like, for whatever reason, I thought that Ping Pong ended and we just didn't learn the outcome of Pecco and Smiles' match. We do, though. We see, like, the final score.
Why'd you think that?
I don't know. I think I watched it and, like, invented a memory that it just ends.
Like, man. Well, it kind of does. Yeah. But, like, yeah. There's, you just turn it off, like, after, like... Does the yeah, and then you just turn it on. I never saw the ending.
No, because I remember like the ending scene when they're adults. I just don't remember like it showing like the score. I thought it was like left ambiguous who won. Yeah.
Well, you should be happy. This is what that happened in this. It ended. I was like, wait, that's it?
That's it?
What the fuck?
We're not going to see who won? Which I like. I think I like that it leaves that a little bit more. Open to interpret, like you can kind of like read into it, I guess, who won. It's like the Dr. Seuss book of the War of the Butterside Up versus Butterside Down. You decide the ending.
See, I don't necessarily take it that way. I take it as it doesn't matter.
Yeah, that's also a way to read it.
Because like the message of it is about why they race.
Yeah.
And we've already gotten people that like obviously someone has to win. So you already get the perspective of the characters that are winning and they are not being fulfilled by the winning necessarily. It's like, okay, well, I'm not really, I don't know what do I go from here? So it's like these characters coming from like different avenues or different paths in life all kind of converge into this 100 meters, the same 100 meters. The same 10 seconds.
Yes.
So it's not about like the paths that get you there or like the paths that diverge from there. It's about that 10 seconds, that 100 meters. And it doesn't really matter the result. It's about them finding the reason why they do it.
Yeah, well, I think it's important that the movie ends on a shot of both Togashi and Komiya smiling, like, side by side.
Mm-hmm.
I like to imagine it's just the other guy just won.
The other guy just... Yeah. I think the implication is kind of supposed to be that they are both, like, transcending in some capacity. So, like...
Yeah.
And so,
well, this is also, like... The idea is this is also, like, Togashi's, like, last race. It's doing the... Have you seen The Wrestler?
Potentially last race. We don't know.
I guess we don't know. It's strongly implied this will be his last race.
Well, it's more about
it would him... be very unromantic if it wasn't his last race.
No, I don't necessarily think because it's about him learning to race like it is his last race.
Right. Like,
that's the whole thing is he's fallen in conformity and, you know, his worrying about the future has weighed him down where he's not giving it his all anymore. And he's become complacent. As he says, he's living to survive to tomorrow. He's not living for today. And so the injury is, I think it's intentionally something that is not necessarily immediately like, okay, you can't race anymore because then it's like, okay, this is my last race. But it's something that is potentially going to cause him to be his last race. And so then he has to question, why am I racing? Should I let myself heal so that I can survive until next year?
You can't do that. Yeah.
Yeah. Should I, just race? And like that's him finding his thing of like, oh, no, I need to race. Like every race could be my last race. Like,
it's what liberates him, essentially.
Right. So, like, it could have been his last race, or he could have not, because really it's just a matter of, like, he was exasperating it by running, and it's like you're kind of running the roulette table every time you're going into this race, because, like, this could be your last race kind of thing. So,
yeah,
I think it's still romantic, even if he does race after this. Like, it could be, like, it's like a smile, like a ping pong thing, like you're saying, like, fucking Pecco was like injured and they're like, oh no, if you keep playing, you could injure yourself more and throw away your future.
Yeah.
And he wins anyway and becomes a fucking Olympic ping pong player. Like,
yeah.
I think it's a similar kind of thing to that, where it's like, it could be his last. That doesn't really matter. It's
yeah.
In that moment, everything is for that 100 meters. That 100 meters is that, all that you have. It is your first. It is your last. Nothing matters before or after that 100 meters.
They literally put it up on big screens. This is, what do they say? It's like,
this is the final race. Like, it lasts for 10 seconds.
Yeah. Which I don't know if it actually lasts. Does that sequence last for 10 seconds? I think it lasts.
No, it lasts more than that. Seconds. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Lasts more than that.
It would have been funny if it was just only 10 seconds.
That would be good. I was expecting that. To happen.
It just bluntly ends. Cause there's no music or anything for that final race either. It's just like them, which I liked as well, as like a stylistic choice. I thought that like it strips it down and now you're just on the level of them running. And then what else happens at the end?
Well, you see them like running as children. I kind of liked that. I like how they execute ending, like in leaving it open ended, because it does leave a lot to interpretation. Like you said,
right. Yeah.
Like them turning the kids, like I think the obvious kind of surface reading of that is like, oh, they're recapturing their youthful enthusiasm or whatever.
Yeah.
You can also read that sort of, as mm-hmm. an extension of like, all that matters is this 100 meters. Your entire life is being consolidated into this 10 seconds, this 100 meters. Like, you could read it in that same way for that.
Yeah. I think those are almost kind of one and the same, because the whole movie is basically structured around those three races essentially. And just kind of like how Togashi and Komiya's like lives intersect. And it almost sort of made like, so it kind of just ties it all together by doing that. It's like, it's all been leading up to these 10 seconds. Every 10 seconds has been leading up to these 10 seconds, every race essentially.
Yeah. I'd like I kind of was thinking about this. We watched Attack Number One before we recorded this. And I was thinking about this.
Oh God.
While we were watching that.
Uh huh.
Because that is something I like about Attack Number One, is how they keep introducing characters, and they mm-hmm. each kind of help push the character to grow in a different way. This that, but
in a way that's less insane.
Less insane. You're not becoming rivals with the Soviet Union like in Attack Number One. But it's kind of like the adage of like, you meet the people that you need to meet for that moment kind of thing.
I like that. It's like you have cast members that kind of like enter and exit when they need to. Like, it's not the same characters who are all kids in the same class and then grow up and then are all racing at the end of the movie.
Yeah, I just from the previews, I did expect that it was just going to be like the two main characters just racing against each other the whole time. And it was like, oh, they raced each other so much that they became the best in the world or whatever.
Oh yeah.
I just expected
to go that route. They like go on like these sort of diverging paths, and you see like each of their different outlooks and how those outlooks not only affect how they're running, but then also how they're interacting with other people.
Yeah. Like, cause like, fuck, what's his fucking name? I moved the fucking page. Komiya.
Yeah.
Learns about kind of getting over that psychological hurdle in high school.
Yeah.
That Togashi doesn't learn until he's an adult.
Yeah.
But like, it's interesting because you see, it's kind of one of those things where it's like, you can have different paths in life and people can learn different things at different points. And you can end up being in the same place, even though one person might have been ahead at this stage in life or something. Like Komiya learned in high school that he didn't learn until he was an adult, but they're still racing together on the same 100 meters at that same point in time, 10 years in the future.
Right. Yeah. And you have this idea of like characters basically peaking at different points in their lives as well. Like some kids like peak in like junior high or high school. And, you know, some people don't necessarily hit their stride until like they're out of college and stuff.
Well, if you're Kaido, you don't hit your stride till you're like 40 something years old.
I don't know how old he's supposed to be. His age, he looks like he's in his 40s. I think he's meant to be in his like late 20s.
There's no fucking way.
I don't know. It's really, his age is very ambiguous. Like, cause he's supposed to be like Zaitsu's rival or whatever. And he's right. Always like taken second place. And Zaitsu is only also in his early 20s. Cause he's like, I think the idea is like when he gives that speech at the high school, he's like just left high school, basically, I think is the idea.
Well, he set those records. They were talking about those records when they were in elementary school.
Yeah.
So Zaitsu had like set magazines at that point. He's got to be like, but then I also thought like Nikami was like
way older. 4 years as well. I thought he was.
But then they ended up going to high school together. I'm like, wait, what?
Yeah, it was. I guess he was only like 2 years older then, because maybe he was like a third year or something. I don't know.
I guess he was only like a year ahead, but also like 2 years older, because he was that one character makes a big deal about him being 11 months older.
Yeah.
It's an interesting timeline of events. Let's put it
again, I feel like this is one of those things that's probably more fleshed out by the fact that it's adapting a 5-volume manga. So you have maybe like some of these like side characters and rivalries that are also a little bit more fleshed out, and you just kind of touched on a little bit more in this 100-minute movie.
Yeah.
Which I guess that there was a criticism. You could say that the movie could have maybe cut some of that stuff out and has been much more focused on Togashi and Komiya's like the dichotomy between the two.
I don't know if you could cut the relay stuff out.
Not cut like the relay stuff out, but like just the rivalry that that guy has with the other guy just from the other school.
Oh, Nakami with the other guy.
I feel this is such like a small point, but
I feel like I feel like that almost acts as like a red herring to Togashi and Komiya.
Because
like it kind of sets up and establishes like this is what you can expect, and then it subverts that.
And sort of which, by the way, when that rival character shows up, I was just also thinking of that scene in Ping Pong, where the bald guy shows up and just starts yelling at Smog. And he later gets like a pompadour or whatever. Like that to me just felt like, oh, this is literally just a scene out of Ping Pong.
Yeah. But was it Kabanoki or Kyoto? Who was it that he was racing with as a professional?
Oh, yeah, that character also just felt like a very like side character that probably had like more going on in the manga.
He must have more going on because like he says something about like, oh, you're not the same as you were as a kid. I'm like, who are you?
Yeah.
I don't remember you.
Kawaki. Like, I feel like his relationship with Togashi is probably also more fleshed out. Because when it cuts to Togashi as an adult, at first I thought he had just stopped running and just got a job.
Yeah.
He's talking about like, your contract has been renewed. I'm like, oh, well, this is a fucking depressing outcome. And it's like, oh no, he's like a professional runner now, and this is his contract. I understand. Okay.
Yeah, it
wasn't initially clear because they just introduced him in a suit in an office.
Yeah.
Like, oh, so he just, that was just the end for him, I guess. What the fuck is the rest of this movie going to be?
The breakdown was funny. I did like the breakdown.
Oh, when he starts crying?
I did like that scene, yeah.
It's a really good scene. Like, that's kind of like the Uisawa stuff that I like, is like that really like heavy, like, because that's also how Ngaku ends, with that very like just raw emotion. Yeah. Also, yeah, that performance was just gut-wrenching as well, from like just that fucking sobbing. And again, it's a little bit funny because it keeps cutting to the kids And then it just cuts to a wide shot of him just crying there for hours.
It's, but it's interesting because, like, it is like a they keep establishing the 100 meters is a distillation of your life or whatever. As a piece of media, that the sport is supposed to, like, be a distillation of, like, a reflection of life, essentially, right? Like, any work of fiction is supposed to reflect different aspects of this kaleidoscope of experience of life that you have.
Yes.
So it's interesting watching him kind of be, like, hit with this weight of, like, fuck, I've spent my entire life doing this, and I never...
And now it could all just be gone.
Well, I think it's more less about, like, it could all be gone. It's he kept doing this and, like, doing this to in a way that was not how to put it. He kept doing this his whole life, but he never really found the reason why he was doing, or he didn't maintain that reason, and so he was just doing it basically because he was fast and.
This is like a way to just sustain himself.
This was something he's good at
and can just continue to do it.
Yeah, but he would do it in such a way that he could survive till the next day or the next week or the next month or the next year. And, like, he's like, oh, I scraped by and got my contract. I can relax now. Yeah. It's like, that shouldn't be that's his whole realization. It's like, I've been living my life this way and I've wasted 10 years essentially.
Yeah.
That's what he basically, like, succeeds or, like, kind of unleashes his limiter kind of thing, is he realizes, like, oh, I need to just be running, like, every race is my last race. Like, you aren't guaranteed the next race. You aren't guaranteed tomorrow, the next competition. Like, yeah. Every day should be 110%, like, you could die tomorrow kind of thing, right?
Right, yeah.
And I think that realization...
And that's essentially what what the injury... The injury and then the fact that his contract won't be renewed if he takes a break basically forces him into that position.
Right. It reminds me a lot of the scene in Kaji where... Does it... Tonegawa is, like, talking about how, like, all these people will live their lives wasting away, never actually truly accomplishing anything and convincing themselves, like, oh
yeah,
I haven't really started yet, I'll start tomorrow, this isn't the true me, but the true me is just waiting or whatever. And they say to themselves and convince themselves of this until the day they die. And they look back and they're like, fuck, that was it. That was my life. That's basically what Togashi experiences when he gets that injury. Yeah. He's like, fuck, the last 10 years, that was it. Like, it could all end tomorrow. What have I been doing? I've been more concerned about this as a job or this as a lifestyle. And maintaining that lifestyle and this comfortability, that I have completely lost sight and not actually accomplished anything. I've not done anything I wanted to do. I've lost track of who I was, kind of thing.
I guess that that comparison to look back then, and also you can then compare it to a Japanese boy who draws as well, which I guess you could also read this movie as, like, a metaphor for creativity to some extent as well. Where that's also something that happens in a Japanese boy who draws, where he's basically just like, what have I been doing? What was the point of all this? And he, like, stops and needs to, like, find his passion again, which he finds his passion through his childhood friend.
Yeah. I will say that as much as I do love a Japanese boy who draws, I don't think that moment was as powerful as this one. This really is a powerful, like, this is, like, I don't know if I would put it on the level of the Kaji scene, because I do really like that Tonegawa. Like, that's, like, probably one of the best
speech.
That's probably one of the best parts of Kaji, honestly, or Kai, whatever. Kaiji. Kaiji. I always get him and Kaji from
confused. Evangelion, yeah. I didn't want to correct you at first because I was like, I don't need to let him go. Kaiji. And then the scam artist from Monogatari is Kaiki.
Why is he relevant?
Oh, no, I get those two things mixed up a lot.
Oh, okay. But yeah. I just get Kaiji and Kaji mixed up.
But you were talking about how hard this moment hits.
Yeah, that was a really good. I really like the scene of the race in high school. That's probably like the peak of.
Oh, where he just like fades out.
Yeah, well, like it starts off in the rain and then they run in the rain and then literally just fades in the rain. That whole sequence is the best part of the film visually.
Yes.
But I think this is like the most poignant, I guess, to me, where he just is basically hit with the realization of this is my life. I've wasted it. It is almost on
25 years have been leading up to these 10 seconds, I think is what he says.
Yeah.
It's been for literally nothing.
It is almost on the level of the Kaji scene, but I would not, maybe not quite. I don't know. I feel like it'd be fair to say like someone's like, oh, I like this scene more than the Kaiji scene. Cause I think the Kaiji scene is a bit understated. Like it's not,
this is very like over the top. Like it's an ugly cry.
A very ugly scene in a good way.
Yeah. In a good way. Have anything else you want to talk about with the movie?
Did you notice about halfway when he goes to check up on Nikami after the race or where they're like, oh, the race is in like 2 days or whatever. And he's like checking to make sure he's not overstraining himself.
Oh, in the scene in the car?
No. They're on the schoolyard and Nakami was like training or whatever, and he's like, oh, are you here to make sure I'm not overtraining? And he's like, after you come back from injuries, it's you're prone to like overextend yourself. But I'm not saying that you don't know how to take care of yourself, like that whole scene.
Yeah.
Did you notice that they fucked up the subtitles?
Oh yeah, he said like hey guys and that line just stuck on screen.
Hey dude, and it just stuck hey, on dude, screen yeah. for like half of his
yeah, I know,
like, speech.
I noticed that too. Yeah. I was like, what the, I guess I'm just not gonna know what he said there or what the fuck was happening with these subtitles. How embarrassing.
That was
hopefully that gets fixed for like a streaming release, because yeah, that was kind of bad.
Yeah. I wasn't even like paying attention because I figured like, oh, I must have like they just must have just put it sooner, so I wasn't even paying attention to like what he was saying in the Japanese to even try to like decipher what he was saying.
Yeah,
that moment.
I figured it was like a timing error rather than a line just not getting translated.
Yeah, but then like he kept talking so much I never really like heard a moment that like fit the hey dude thing. So I'm like, oh, this is not good. This is just bad.
That was rough. Yeah. I guess that's the only like objective criticism of the movie really. I was like that one moment. They should have fixed that.
Fucked up.
Is there any other Uoto adaptations coming out now? I'm curious.
They need a good director. You have a good director. Yeah,
good director. I mean, that is kind of the thing. Is like, how much can I attribute to this? How much can I attribute to the direction? What the fuck is this Dr. Muscle Beetle manga? Dr. Muscle Beetle. Human drama about a muscular idealistic man who dreams of bringing peace to humanity by making them fit and ripped. But after he borrows money from shady gangsters to open up his own gym, he's driven into a corner soon and forced to participate in a robbery of an elderly entomologist. A fateful encounter for this odd duo leads to the realization that life has to be lived to the fullest without holding back. Just like insects acting on pure instinct. He's just like this, isn't he? This is just the kind of story that he writes. Just fucking weird, weird characters and weird scenarios talking about the facts of life or whatever the fuck.
He seems like he's got some weird interest. I don't know how they intersected like to write this.
Who knows? That sounds fucking weird. And yeah, the conspiracy theory manga, which again, I'm not gonna get over the fact that it just opens with a joke about the Pizzagate, like pizza place shooting.
That's
fucking crazy.
I asked my brother when we were like driving back. I was like, "What do you think about the movie?"
Oh yeah.
He was like, "I was kind of disappointed."
Oh.
I was like, "Oh."
What was he wanting?
What? I don't know. I was like, "What? Why?" He's like, "Why?" Well, it's kind of a basic movie, like story. I was like,
"Kinda."
I guess.
I feel like there's only so many sports movies, like sports stories. You can tell. That's why, like, when we were watching Attack Number One, I was like, oh, this is interesting. I've never seen a character in a sports anime that hates the sport. I've never seen that archetype before.
I feel like I've seen something like that where it's like they become jaded toward the sport and they just think they're so good they have to play the sport, and then like they learn the value and to love the sport again from the protagonist.
Probably something along those lines, yeah. But I think it's less of, in this case, it's less of a jaded thing. It more seems like she just actually fucking hates volleyball and is playing it to find her brother.
Yeah, well, we don't know that part yet.
I guess we don't know that part.
She might not be doing it for that. She might just be like, oh, actually, I was given a scholarship and I got out of the sex brothel.
I got out of the sex brothel, Jesus Christ. She was an orphan, so.
Yeah, you know, those orphans.
It is like a simple movie, but it's a simple sport of 100 meters.
Yeah, it was like a, I was like, I wanted to say something, but I'm also like, I guess I can't really. It is there are a lot of stories very similar to this. It is very much about the nuances.
Yeah, and like why they're like running or doing whatever the hell.
I kind of just came to the conclusion. I told him, I was like, I think maybe you're just maybe not old enough. Like fully.
Did you tell him that?
Yeah, it's like I don't think he has like enough of the life. Like, not to say that you can't enjoy the movie without life experience or whatever, but I think like to have the same perspective on like the general themes, it's like not necessarily like some like niche reading of like, oh, it's just like otaku culture or something, like, but just like the general themes of like, why do I do these things? I think there is like a little bit of a necessity of like having some life experience of like kind of being on autopilot and doing these things and kind of
I'm just going through them, like something that you were passionate about and just ending up, you're just doing it as a job now. Just going through the motions.
I feel like
that was like
I feel like you just, there's some level of life experience that I think he just doesn't have, so I'm like, well, maybe you just don't have enough to like appreciate the nuances or like the stuff that like I would appreciate, I appreciate coming out of the movie.
Yeah, like in that sense, like when I was going into college, I initially wanted to do like a degree in music and like do music professionally, but I eventually kind of like came to the realization, it's like, I mean, if I do that, I feel like that's, I'm gonna be doing it so much, I'm gonna lose like my passion and interest for music, and it's going to become a job to me, and I don't want that to happen. So I ended up not doing that. So that's also like kind of like ties into the movie as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Highly recommended.
Good movie.
I'm still not sure. I think I'm kind of leaning toward like a 7.
That's fair. I'm feeling a decent to strong 8.
I'm not far off.
I really love the movie, so
I'm not far off from an 8.
Yeah,
but like I don't.
Maybe on rewatch, you know, you'll be able to get more out of it.
Maybe,
or maybe, you know, maybe that's always like the thing. It's like a, you know, first time you watch something, you're like just trying to like follow along with like the plot and see what's happening. And then like on rewatch, because you're not as focused on that, you're able to like pick up more on the illusions and like things that they were setting up at the start of the movie that maybe you just didn't necessarily notice or weren't thinking about when you first watched it.
This is kind of a shitty thing about having the autism to want to compare anime. Cause like I look at this and I'm like, well, It is technically better produced, constructed than Apocalypse Hotel. I don't know if I like the elements of this more in Apocalypse. I feel like Apocalypse Hotel kind of hits more on the biases I have.
Mm-hmm. No, that's like the difference between this and Ongaku for me.
Yeah. But it's like, I think it's technically better, tighter.
Yeah.
Do I want to give it an 8? I don't know if I can give it an 8. What did I give Look Back? I don't know.
Especially for you, because you try to compare movies over, like, specifically, and you haven't seen that many anime movies.
Well, I try to compare movies to movies.
Yeah, yeah.
You say I haven't seen that many movies. I've seen like 300 anime movies.
So, but you always say it's like you haven't seen, like, compared to your overall list, that's actually relatively small. Like, how many?
Relatively small. But like, also, like, every time I think like, oh, I should watch more movies, I'm like, what movies do I watch? I don't know. There's not really like a lot of anime movies I haven't seen that I need to watch.
There are plenty of anime movies that you need to see.
Name.
Yeah, let's 10. Literally go through like the last like however many years of movies. Let's see.
Do I need to see the most like recent one?
Yes, because you have an anime podcast.
But I watched fucking like 100 anime from this year. Like, do I need to watch the movies?
When they're in theaters, yeah. Which is why then like next week we have to go watch the Chainsaw Man movie.
Is that fucking coming out next week already? What the fuck?
It's like next week or like the week after. It's this month though, so get hyped for that.
That's gonna be fucking weird. Hopefully that's in a closer theater. I don't want to drive another 30 minutes to fucking watch a movie.
Let's see. We gotta watch Sing a Bit of Harmony. We've gotta watch. I literally just scrolled past it. God damn it. God damn it. You didn't see The Tunnel of the Summer, Exit of Goodbyes. I don't think you've seen I Want to Eat Your Pancreas. Let me see. Belle, which there's also a new. Is that new Hosoda movie coming to theaters soon? Because you got to watch that as well.
I randomly skipped to summer 2024. I watched the Mononoke movie. We watched Kimi no Iro, we watched Garden of Remembrance, we watched Aonzu-chan.
How many of those would you have gone out of your way to watch?
2. I mean, Garden of Remembrance, I don't know.
Like Lupin the First. Were you the one we watched Goodbye, Don Gleese?
We watched Goodbye, Don Gleese, we did, yeah.
Yeah. Let's see. Oh, God, the Rose of Versailles movie.
Did watch that.
Unfortunately. Oko's In.
Watch Look Back. I guess I still need to watch. Which I don't know if it's going to be fucking high on a list. But I guess the Suki Demo Kurai na Manonjoku, whatever.
The demon movie or something?
Yeah, the demon girl one.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Like, yeah, the Oni girl or whatever. There's a lot of stuff that's just on Netflix that we just end up missing because it's on Netflix and there's no pomp or circumstance around its release. To Every You I've Loved Before, To Me, The One Who Loved You. That's like a 2-part movie.
Wait, what is that?
Is Mamoroshi out yet?
Link that movie?
Yeah, that was the Mario Kata movie that came out however long ago. Like, oh my God, 2023. Yeah, it's out. It's on Netflix. We gotta watch that. There's a lot of anime movies we need to watch. We should be a lot better about it.
Yeah.
No. Like, we're going through the effort of watching every, like, seasonal anime, or at least watching the first episode. We should have an effort to watch, like movies as they come out.
I've never, like, felt a strong, like, I need to watch these movies. Especially, like, I don't know, when I...
Didn't I'm you like, only watch Promare like last year?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I watched it and I was like, that was okay. It was like a 5 out of 10 movie.
Absolutely fine.
So I'm saying, like, every time I'm like, oh, I need to watch more movies, and then I watch movies and I'm like, This is not going to my top 50.
Oh yeah, there's the movie from the director of Odd Taxi that's out now. I don't know when that's coming to American theaters. We're gonna have to watch that.
Like all I'm saying is you acted like I haven't seen a lot of movies. It'd be like easy to make my top 50. It's not very easy in my top 50 movies, all right?
Top 50 is still like a full six as compared to like the number of like TV anime you've seen.
A full what?
Yeah, like a sixth.
Oh.
Yeah.
I see. I thought you said full six. I was like, I don't need 6 out of 10 movies. What are you talking about?
No, like it's like a sixth of your list as compared to like for TV shows. That's like less than a tenth. That's probably less than like a fifth. That's not fifth, a 20th, 5%, whatever the fuck.
My top 100?
Top 50.
I think my top 50 and my top 100, like top 50 movies and top 100 series are like proportionally pretty close to one another.
Maybe. Well, no, because that would mean you would have seen like top like 600 shows, and you've definitely seen more than 600 shows.
Okay, I guess a bit weird because
I guess it's a little weird because they like count like short films, like
the short like films, the and there's also watch. Like OVAs, so it's like
yeah.
I mean, you would count it because it's like Legend of Galactic Heroes is an OVA and Gunbuster or whatever, but then like there's like 2 episode OVAs. I don't know. Yeah. Let's see. Favorites. That's what I want. I have seen almost 400 movies. And I have
I've seen about
850 TV series.
I have seen 438 TV series and then 284 movies. So proportionally, my proportions are much different from yours.
TV series make up 48%, 48.9, I should say. And movies take up 21.8. And then OVAs take up 16.6. Specials take up 5%. ONAs take up 4.1%.
Yeah, for me, it's like TV shows are 39%. Movies are 25%. OVAs are 23%. ONAs are, they don't have a percentage for those.
But yeah, I look at the movies and I'm like, what am I missing? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm missing a lot. I've seen a decent amount. Like looking back, I'm like, I've seen like the big ones that you want to see. I haven't seen
right
Biohazard Death Island.
Dude, you haven't seen Biohazard Death Island?
I haven't seen City Hunter the movie Tenshi no Namida.
Have you seen the dinosaur movie Yoru Umaso or whatever?
No.
Oh well, fuck you. The movie's wonderful. It has dinosaurs doing martial arts. It's awesome. What more could you want out of a movie?
I don't know, like story, I guess, or cute girls.
The dinosaurs are cute.
But are they? Do I want to jerk off to them?
You could. I guess it's your prerogative. You know, if that's what you're into, you well, certainly could.
Masturbation session.
Listen, it's not like I wanted to come to the dinosaurs, but
speaking of New York. They were talking about.
Oh wait, what?
They were talking about because my friend was like, "Oh, I went to the 9/11 memorial, or whatever." And there's a portion where you get put into a room with that just shows you video clips of people jumping, and it all of a sudden the room is a chair and tissues. And I was like, instructions unclear.
Did you actually fucking say that to them?
Yeah, I was like, "Did you? Are you supposed to jerk off? Like, what's going on?" Yeah, like you like walk out. You're like,
Well, one of my proudest masturbation, but you know.
just like covered in semen, like Randy from South Park. It's like, oh my god, I never.
Sir, you're supposed to cry.
I made my dick cry.
Well, why did you fucking just tell me that? Why did you just leave some tissues? I thought I was just giving a fucking jerk off booth.